Podcast. We're so happy to have y'all joining us again. It's me, Mary Hannah.
I'm Aifa.
And Wanipa.
And we're Leg Out Podcast. Woo! So yeah, today we're going to be talking about body image and like confidence and a little bit about identity. But yeah, so before we start, we always want to start with a word of prayer. So yeah.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for another day to conversate with each other and to talk to you as well. Father Lord, we pray that you'll help us during this discussion to be vulnerable and to also offer support and encouragement to our listeners. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to understand that our confidence is in you and not within ourselves. Help us to trust in you in all we do, and everything we say, may it be ordered by you, and we won't say anything that we're not meant to say or you don't want us to say. Father Lord, we thank you for all you've given to us. In my name, Jesus, pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, guys, I think that maybe a good starting point would be to talk about what our journeys have been with self-confidence, body image, particularly as, you know, 20-something-year-old young women. It's been a lot. And I think maybe a lot of listeners will be able to relate or be encouraged by some of our stories. So one of you take it away. What's been your journey with self-confidence?
I don't mind starting. Okay, so for me, I've realized as I've grown up that I'm a bit of a drama queen. Like, I'm so dramatic for no reason. So when I was probably, I think my insecurity started when I was like maybe 12. Like that's when I was like between the age of like 12 to 15 is when I was like the most insecure. And it was just very dramatic, very like, oh, I'm so ugly. I don't want to look into the mirror. Oh. I'm the ugliest person ever. Like, I just can't deal with myself. Like, I don't want to take a picture. Oh my God.
The GCSE drama is jumping out.
I didn't even take GCSE drama. That was just me. That was just me on my own. And so I was just out here doing a lot. And it was like, you know, face stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, I had braces, y'all. So, like, I used to have a gap in my teeth. Like, anyway, yeah. So I had braces. I didn't have braces at that point. And I was dealing with different stuff, like trying to navigate hair before, like right at the beginning of like the natural hair movement. I'm like natural 4C. Y'all know the drill. Mm-hmm. So it's like trying to figure out your hair. My hair was like Tex-Lex at that time. So I was like, I'm trying to make my hair straight and get it, let it grow long, and like navigating beauty or like desirability in a very like white space. I was living in Atlanta at the time.
Right.
I just moved from London back to Atlanta. So yeah, it was just a lot. But yeah, that was my sort of like insecurity summed up. I think, yeah, it lasted pretty much until I was like, maybe how old are you? Like, okay, 16, you're in year 11. So I think, yeah, 12 to 16 was like my main sort of insecurity stages.
Mine was kind of similar-ish. I think it was like year 7. And year 9, I never really like thought I was ugly, but it was just different shape. Because I hung out with in secondary school quite a white friendship group, basically. But then I guess it was always the odd one out, and because my body was my body developed quicker in terms of like I had a growth spurt at like year 6, and I was like, why am I towering over everyone? And then also I'm like darker skin plus I'm tall. I was like, why can't I just fit in? How dramatic. And then I think like with puberty as well, you gain a bit of weight, but I was never like fat. And I just went into like a thing of I used to like want to work out, and I was in like year 8 or year 7 doing the insanity workout. And I think back to then, I was like, what was I doing? I used to wake up at 6 and do like 45 minutes of exercise.
Wow.
But now, can I even do that?
She can watch her new YouTube video, y'all.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it was just not feeling comfortable in my body. And right. I think a lot of it was comparison to other people as well.
Yeah.
For me, it's a little bit different and a little bit earlier, quite worryingly young, my issues with insecurity started because I've kind of always been a bigger girl. I've always been on the bigger side. And so for me, I'm sure a lot of other children who have grown up quite big can relate. It's like from as early as you can remember, that's all the focus is on in your life is diet, 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 exercise, exercise, because you need to lose weight. And it, you know, I guess it comes from a well-meaning place from like parents and people at school and stuff, but like you learn from very early on, or I guess what you understand is that your self-worth or your inherent beauty will come from being smaller than you are now. And I guess for someone who's just been on a constant string of like yo-yo diets, and I think my size, like I'm becoming more comfortable with it now, maybe because like the whole thick is in or whatever, so like I'm making a comeback. I guess because I've never been able to lose it consistently, or certainly not as much to look like the people who I grew up with or the people who I saw on TV or whatever, part of me is still like, I sometimes worry that it's something I'll be trying to do for the rest of my life. And I just think that that's really like bondage, but that's really just the mindset that I've always known. So yeah, it's been quite a difficult one. And then also like compounded by other things like my skin, not in terms of like my skin color, but like having acne and those sort of things. Sometimes I just found myself being like, Lord, why? Like, why all these things? Like, you could have just given me one burden, but you wanted to give me weight, acne, hair, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, that's where I'm at.
I think what you said about it feels like insecurity never ends. It's like such, I can empathize with that so much because, okay, well, we're like 20, turning like 21 in like the next, well, we need to turn 21 relatively soon. And it's like, okay, yes, bam, she's going to be out here grown. it's like, okay, so like when does the insecurity end?
Right.
And I think for me, I've just had to realize like, insecurity, the way I see it, is like a ongoing journey, not in the sense that we should be burdened by insecurity for the rest of our lives. But I don't think I'll ever reach a place, and maybe I will, and I'll listen back to this in a couple of years and I'll be like, girl, what were you saying? But I don't think I'll ever reach a place where I'll be like, yes, I'm it.
Right.
Y'all can't be me. I'm sipping on y'all's necks, like all the time. Do you know what I mean? I think there are going to be days where I'm just like, I just don't feel cute today. Or I've been eating a little too much. And so now I'm feeling a little bit, I don't know. Or just insecure maybe in my abilities or in my new workplace or even in my relationship. Like, you never know. So I think it's just the sort of thing that we continually have to address and surrender to the Lord as we grow and as we turn, as we live our lives. But, yeah, I hear that.
Yeah. I think one thing that has helped me during this past few years is, like, not equating how I feel to who I am. So if I say, oh, I don't feel cute today, it's not like I'm ugly, or it's like I've gained a little bit of weight. I don't see it as a negative thing on myself. And I think it really helps to detach your feelings from your person.
Yeah.
That's like a really great mindset. I mean, I haven't reached that yet, but when I do, I holler at y'all.
I actually read a Bible verse so recently about that. I'm going to try to find it. It's in 1 John 3. Let me just find it. My Bible app is always acting up when I need her to be correct. 1 John 3. I think it's 1 John 3:20. It says, even if we feel guilty, another version says, even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our feelings and he knows everything. Right. And I feel like insecurity is definitely linked to one's mental state, not necessarily talking about like mental illnesses, but just the way that you perceive yourself in your mind. And so just like reading that verse and realizing that like even when our own hearts or even when our own feelings like betray us and make us just feel like so bad about ourselves, it's sort of comforting to know that there's a God in heaven who not only loves us for who we are, but at the end of the day is genuinely greater than our feelings. And that's not to dismiss how we feel, because it's very legitimate and valid. But I don't know, for me, like sort of stepping out of insecurity and like just navigating coming in and out of it, and just like the oscillating emotions that sort of accompany that, that's just really encouraging for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like really encouraging and important to remember, but also like to pick up on something that you said is like that doesn't mean that your feelings of self-depreciation necessary, like, or like your insecurities are not valid, or that you shouldn't feel this way. Because one thing I often struggled with was, oh my gosh, like, I'm telling myself all these negative things, but I now feel like a bad Christian, because I feel like I shouldn't be, you know, criticizing God's creation. And it's like, in my head, I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But when I look at myself,
that Bible verse.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's the one that people always tell you. Or it's like, you know, God spent so much time on you. He made you in his own image. Like, who are you to be, you know, criticizing his creation and not being appreciative? And I think that's, I don't really have an answer. I'm just highlighting that that's really a conflict that I had to deal with. And, you know, even recently during lockdown, it's something that I felt made me feel a little bit distant from God. Like, I was really having, like, I guess a wrestling match with God, you know what I mean? I was like, just asking so many questions. It's like, I'm not even mad. Like, I just want to know why some people look like this, you know what I mean? So I was just like, God, like, I'm really out here. Like, I just want to understand why. Like, I'm not mad. I'm just tired at this point. So I think it's like something a lot of people feel, and it's very valid, but also know that there is room to kind of ask questions and just vent to God, really. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what role do you think things like social media has played on your insecurities, or think made you feel certain ways?
I can start, because my social media is limited. I did have Instagram at one point. It has since been deleted. So I think that's sort of that's a good indication of like, that's how I feel. No, period. I have no beef with Instagram or Snapchat or Twitter or any of those type of things, or like people posting media. But I think for me, I'm not like, my brand or my aesthetic is not like the in-girl, like Insta babe, long inches, 25 millimeter lash type of aesthetic. And that's very much what's in. And I love it. And when I see girls doing it, I'm like, yes, chef's kiss, you look amazing. But when you realize that that's not you, and like, but that's all that you take in, I think it can sort of be negative, because you're trying to force yourself to be something that you are not, or that you don't, that doesn't, image of womanhood that doesn't resonate with you that much. And so for me, as much as like, I love like Instagram and gassing my friends up and like seeing what celebrities are doing and like drawing inspiration from that, I just made the decision, like, how do I feel? Like, do I feel better without this? And I was just like, yeah, I do. And my friends will look cute regardless. And I'll just be like, girl, send me your latest picture in the group chat. And that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I just deleted it. And that's just how I feel. I think it depends on the person that you are. I tend to overthink anyway. So like, taking certain stuff in just isn't good. But yeah, that's just for me. I just feel like it's okay to cut stuff out of your life if you feel like it's not really the best for you.
Well, I guess I'm kind of like the opposite to MH, because I have all the social medias and I'll be posting. The thing is, with me, I can't believe I'm about to expose myself like this.
It's okay, honey. We all doing some exposing.
We're all doing some exposing, some soul searching. If I'm being totally honest with myself, I think that social media has kind of really had a damaging effect on my self-esteem. Kind of like, it's really exacerbated the feelings that I had when I was younger. But it got to a point where it's like, I feel like I learnt my angles. I know, you know, the times where I feel like I look good and stuff like that. And having like a large ish social media presence, when you see like likes and comments and stuff coming in, it's like validation for that moment, you know what I mean? And it's like, I literally, like, I don't know if it's something with me, I literally look at my pictures and I'm like, I do not look like this, like, one bit. Like, this is not actually how my face is. But it's like, as long as I can put forward that image and get some positive reception, in a way it's like, it's soothing. It's a way of like calming those insecurities, which I now have started to realize like is very dangerous. And this is the first time I've like properly articulated it out loud, so you guys are lucky that I shared this with you. But yeah, I think I'm kind of starting to realize how that whole culture has really taken a toll on me. But yeah,
same, kind of the same with one of her. I have all the socials, and I think it was a year ago or a year and a half ago, I decided on Instagram I wasn't going to follow any of the Instagram famous people or any celebrities. So I completely went through like my whole following list of like, do I know this person or am I in some way related to them? And then I just deleted everyone that was like who's in the public eye just for being. Because they're going to end up on my explore page anyway, and I will see their pictures or see them on Twitter. So, and that has been quite helpful in terms of comparison. Because, like, sometimes you look at people's faces and you'll be like, why doesn't my face look like that?
period.
No, honestly.
And, yeah, and you can admire and you can, like, gas people up. But I think too much consumption, especially with beautiful girls, and you're always comparing. So I made sure to cut out anything that would make me compare, because comparison really is the thief of joy.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I definitely hear that. Because I think, like, as strong as you might try to be, like, it's so difficult to not compare, or at least just to look at someone and be like, oh, I wish my... da-da-da. And they will even have you saying the craziest things, like, I wish my eyes were that shape. Like, what does that even mean? Do you know what I mean? Like, no, I wish my brow bone was that strong. Like, it will have you dissecting yourself to the nth degree. And it's like, why am I doing this? You know what I mean?
No, period.
But it's really, like, it's a whole trap. And I feel like because social media is so, like, such a huge part of our society and everything. And I don't want 100% blame social media. I feel like social media just really, like, put in everyone's faces what was kind of already going on, right? Because even before I had Instagram and stuff, like, I thought certain things about myself. But it's really crazy.
Talking about some, I wish I had lid space. Like, what does that even mean? Lid space. More lid space. I wish my lash band was something.
Honestly, that's when you know it's crazy. So another thing I've really learned recently is that your relationships or lack thereof aren't a signifier of how beautiful you are. And also that, like, your beauty and your self-worth can't come from other people. The reason I say this is because definitely when I was growing up, I saw all my friends getting into relationships and whatever. And obviously, like, it wasn't that deep. They were just maybe 14, 15. But at the time, it's all you know and it's everything you see. And you think that that's normal. And so for me, I was like, okay, I must be ugly because no boys are choosing me.
No, period.
I will caveat this with the fact that I was one of three black girls at my school. That was the most black girls there ever were, was three. Henty ways. So there was already that of me thinking, okay, it's because I'm not pretty that people aren't picking me. But then as I kind of got a little bit older and maybe certain people did start showing some attention, either it wasn't the right kind of attention and people were just, you know, loving on certain parts of me.
Yes.
The assets.
The bunda.
The Bundesliga. Let me not talk too much, but I was blessed with a South African booty. Shout out to my granddad.
No, I can't.
Anyways, like, I realized, like, that type of attention wasn't making me feel valid, I guess, either, because I was like, you know, these people don't really care about who I am as a person. Like, what's that? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, I guess maybe I'm saying all this because I still ain't never had a man. But I think I've really learned that, like, relying on other people's opinions to shape how you see yourself is just destined to fail. Because I feel like even if I was with someone who was really loving and really, you know, loved the way I looked and everything, probably all those insecurities that I've built throughout my life will never rationalize what it is that he's saying to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, no matter how much he tells me, like, oh, you look great, da, 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 in my head I'm still gonna be thinking, like, I'm the really annoying person that will be like, you're just saying that because you're my man, or like, you're just saying it because you're my parent or you're my friend, you know what I mean? And so yeah, you really just can't let that be shaped by other people.
So we jokingly mentioned Vanifa said people were loving on her for the wrong reasons sometimes. Unlike Vanifa, unfortunately, I have no such assets.
Oh.
So Sorry, ma'am.
Hello. Sorry, ma'am. Sorry to this woman. No, really sorry to this woman. Like, for real. I don't even want to dwell on it too much. Okay, let me be serious. But, yeah, looking at, thinking about, like, bodies and how that has changed. I remember when I was, like, probably 12. So I was in a little suburban private school in Metro Atlanta. And it was, like, all these, like, white girls with, like, their cheerleading outfits. And it was, like, yes. Like, y'all remember, like, thigh gaps on Tumblr and that sort of situation?
I was like, girl.
Literally, I was, like, if I don't have a thigh gap, like, that's it for me. Like, that's it, bro. That's it. And, like... Like, I remember people be, like, talking about, like, bra sizes and, like, what is this and what is that? And I'm just like, girl, like, we can't control that. And so I think also seeing the way that body types have changed and, like, how certain things are in and certain things probably won't be in anymore. And just the dangers that surround, I guess, certain, I don't even want to get too much into surgery because that's even a whole different controversy on its own. Mm. But just the whole idea of like change yourself to be what makes you happy. I think we have to recognize that our happiness or what we think is preferable is not developed in a vacuum. I will say this to the day that I 100%. Die. Like, because people often, women, men, whatever, often are like, oh, I want this body type because I genuinely like it, which may be valid for some, but I think we have to recognize that we are heavily informed by that which we see and the content which we take in. And so when we think about our bodies, I think over the years, particularly in the last, like, I guess a year and a half, I remember I told a friend of mine, I was like, I'm not too, he was joking that I don't have a booty. And I was like, you're so rude. First off, like, don't say that to me. I wish you could see their faces. And I was like, first off, don't say that to me. He was joking. So it was all cool. And I was just like, I don't really care that much. Well, I'm trying not to care that much about my body because it's just a skin suit. Like, at the end of the day, this is just literally a skin suit. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going on a bit of a tangent, so forgive me, y'all. But I remember one of the defining moments in my journey of, like, insecurity or my journey of insecurity thus far. I was probably, like, 14. And I was having, like, a little mini breakdown. I was like, God, I'm so ugly. Ratatatata. I've read the Bible verses. It's unfruitfully and wonderfully made, but I don't believe it. And I was, like, literally in tears. And it was all the whole big thing. And I, guys, I kid you not, I'm so, so serious when I say this. It was like I heard God say to my heart, I've never heard God's voice audibly, but this is one of the first times I ever heard God speak to me. And he was like, okay, so you ugly, and so what? And I said,
yeah.
I said, I said, oh my gosh. And I share that not to be like, oh, God thinks people are genuinely ugly. I do not mean that at all. But
like, God said, you ugly.
I don't mean that at all. When I remember back to that moment, it was sort of like God speaking to my, or me sensing God say to me, okay, and so if you're ugly, what does that have to do with who I've called you to be? Mm-hmm. And I think as the girls have said, we have to separate what we look like from who we actually are. Right. As believers, you know, the Bible talks about who we are in Christ and our identity, chosen people, royal priesthood, God's special possession. And yes, sometimes those whole ideas can seem abstract, but it is the truth of who we are. And, you know, me being on this podcast with my beautiful friends, me being a good daughter, me being a good friend, a good sister, a good whatever, colleague, whatever, girlfriend, whatever you want, whatever role I may have in the future, is not necessarily dependent, or isn't dependent really at all, on how I look or how my waist is fixed or how my edges are laid or, you know, whatever. Like, it's really about my character. It's really about how I view myself and in turn view others. And so that's just something I wanted to share because I'm super passionate about purpose and what that means. And to see people feel so like held back because of the way that they look breaks my heart because I know that I've been there. I've been there before. But yeah, I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, I think it's really like what you touched on is like your insecurities really can hold you back. And like, that's such a cliche, but it's so... it's such a genuine thing and it's so upsetting. Like, one like personal example for me is that, like, I don't know if any of y'all saw, but I was on Channel 4 News around August last year because of the ACS Access conference that we did. And like, obviously, like, was amazing. I'd never been on TV before and like it was a really great thing that the ACS was doing. But the first thing that came to my mind when I saw it was like, oh my gosh, I look gross. that was literally, and imagine like in this moment when I'm meant to be feeling on top of the world, like we had just organized a conference helping like 140 black students, you know, help them to get into Cambridge. And that's the first thing that came to my mind. And like, I think back on moments like that and I just think, this is not the way life should be, that like all your most important moments are overshadowed by how you see yourself. And it's also just not the way that I want to be forever. You know what I mean? And I think it's really important to like Mary Hannah said, to try to divorce how you see yourself first of foremost from your purpose, but then also to work on how it is that you see yourself and really examine why is it that you see yourself that way. And like Mary Hannah said, like you might just think, oh, I don't like this because this is what I like, but that hasn't been developed in a vacuum at all. And like, also remember that trends change. So when we were growing up, maybe what was in fashion was to be super, super skinny and like, you know, just fit into low-rise jeans and like have just a little booty, you know what I mean? And like have that little Sierra body. Nowadays it's changed to something else. Now it's all about the BBL looking, you know, flat stomach, wide hips and everything. And like, if you just follow the trend or whatever, who knows, like after you've now gone and done BBL in Turkey, 10 years from now, the trend is something else. What do you do? You know what I mean? Like, where do you actually go? So this world, like, I've just learned over time, this world is just a very fickle. Is that the right words?
Yeah.
But this is why it's so important as well to be in the world, but not of the world. Because, like, if you're of the world, you're of its trends, you're of its mindsets, and that's what will have you being a sheep and following and just in this mindset where your highest standard is what the world sees as a standard. But God's standard is completely different. God's standard says you're already perfect. You don't need to change anything. You can come as you are. I made you perfectly. And it's so hard to actually believe that and get into that mindset, but that's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be peculiar, you know? You have to think outside the box sometimes and really go against the grain. So just keep working at it, really.
Yeah. I definitely agree with what you guys have said. And going back to Juanita's old point on how you can't let your confidence and your insecurity be affected by other people. Because even if people say you're the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my life, if you don't think that, you'll be like, you're lying.
Get out of here, man.
Oh, you start doing, oh, have you seen me when I just woke up? Yeah, know some of the Bible verses, like I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But I think sometimes in the times of a special insecurity, maybe repeating it to yourself, or just having go-to verses has really helped me as well. And mine isn't too much verses. Mine's just like my mom. Even though she'll be like, oh, you're the most beautiful person. I'm like, yeah. Then the one thing that sticks into my mind is like, people say like I'm like her twin. So then she told me one day, she was like, if you're ugly, then you're saying I'm ugly too. So yeah,
that's when I can run away. I say, I'm sorry, mama. You know, I was literally like, you stole the thought from my brain. I was just about to say that, like, Jen, if y'all know me, you know I love Jen. Shout out to Jennifer Okran.
We love you, Jen.
Woo! We love you, Jen. We miss you.
We do. She one time said to me that when she's feeling down, she thinks, well, I think my mum is the most beautiful person in the world, and I look like my mum. So therefore, the math is mathing. You know what I mean? Like, it just makes sense. I feel the same as well. Like, guys, if you see my mum, she's actually paying. Like, my mum is paying. So if I'm ever feeling down, I just think, well, to be honest, I am her carbon copy. I'm not going to say too much, but we do look very similar. So, yeah, I think whatever methods and, like, little ways you can find to just remind yourself, like, that you genuinely are laying, because the likelihood is that you are. Just dwell on those things.
And I think we touched on this a little bit before about, like, we talked about other people's perceptions of you. But I want to talk a little bit about, like, how that manifests or functions in the romantic world. Because as Wanipa said, like, when you're 14 and 15, all you know is boyfriend this, and someone's romancing someone, and ratatatata, and it's just like, nobody's romancing me, so... So, you know, what does that mean? And I think that definitely, like, when I think back to my insecurity, when I think of my insecurity, I think that definitely plays a part. I mean, baby, I ain't got no problem getting a man these days. I'm going to have you know.
Whoa! She said! Do you know what? A lot of people's eyes just came low because they thought they were your number one.
I'm just, you know what? All I know is that I'm no longer in that. I'm no longer in the frame of mind that, you know, because a man or a boy likes you or does not like you, that has a bearing on your beauty for various reasons. But I just feel that, yeah, that's just a very, it's so easy for young girls to get caught up in that, to just be like, oh, whatever your, if your romantic partner or whoever is in doesn't think you're good looking, then that's it. I remember I wrote about this in a post I did about desirability, about how when I was 10 and I came to primary school here, I was, like, super tall. Well, not really super tall, because I'm only, like, 5'6" now. So I was just, like, tall for, like, my age. And, like, the other boy, I was, like, the tallest girl in the class then, as of then. And the other boy who was tall, his name was Jake. Jake won't be listening to this, so it's okay. Like, his name was Jake. and he was, like, a tall white boy with a little white boy haircut, looking like Jake or whatever. And his friends were like, oh, that girl's, like, so tall. Like, y'all be, like, so, like, perfect for each other. And he, like, retched. Like, actually retched, like, physically, like, feigned vomiting. And I think about that in my head, and I'm like, wow, I think that was, like, that's a good, like, starting point. Well, not good, it's an unfortunate starting point to, like, when I realized what desirability and what beauty politics actually was. And I think about that, I'm like, wow, that's actually crazy. Because I think from then, like, in primary school, year 6, year 5 is when it's, like, the boyfriend and girlfriend thing is really becoming heavy. It's, like, actual Valentine's gifts, like, actual, like, you know, like, mom, that is my boyfriend. Yeah. And it's just like, wow, like, that's a real thing. And so, yeah, I just think that it's just, it's dangerous. It's unfortunate. We can't run away from it. I'm not going to be like, girls, it doesn't matter if your romantic interest or whatever doesn't think you're paying, because the fact of the matter is, it is, like, like, I'm not going to hide away from that. Like, it is not, I can't say it's coincidental that I started to feel more confident when I started to get male attention. Like, I'm not gonna lie and be like, oh no, I just got all the come up on my own. No. It was when people were like, no, she kind of, like, cute though still. And I was like, yes, I am. So,
no,
so
right,
that's just, like, the truth, but yeah.
So, guys, let's end on a more wholesome and positive note, because I think a lot has been shared and it's been a very honest and raw discussion. So why don't we go around and say one thing that you love about yourself and one thing that you would tell your younger self if you could?
You mean, like, physically, like a feature, or?
Do you know what? Why don't we even expand? Do one physical, one personality, and then what you would tell... Let's just make this a real circle of love.
Okay, so physically, a body part I like my lips.
She does have very juicy lips, y'all.
She just blew us a kiss.
Personality, I think I like my, I guess, peace or just, like, calmness. I don't allow people to stress me. And one thing I wish I could tell my younger self was that some things are just natural, like your body will change, your face will change. And I think I would also say, like, don't try to grow up too quickly.
Right.
I've been wearing makeup since, like, I was stealing my mom's foundation, but since, like, year 8.
Same. Yeah.
And now thinking about it, it was like, it didn't make my face look any different. Like, I was just putting on makeup in the morning because I thought it would make me look a certain way. But just to not rush to grow up too quickly.
For me, I'll start. Okay, one thing I'd say to my younger self is there's more to life than how you look. And, like, yeah, I'll just say that. Personality-wise, I love people, so I like having, like, I guess, a hospitable spirit presence. Mm. I love like having people run to my home or like cooking for somebody or for just like having a chat or going for a coffee or something like that. I really love that. Mm. And so, yeah, appearance wise, this is actually crazy. Because I just be like, oh, I'm cute, but I don't have any isolated features. I'm like, oh, yeah, that, you like, girl, you slap in that
MH has the most beautiful skin, like in color and texture. It's very, very lame.
Thank you. Okay, that's a good one. Okay. So, yes, I like my skin. These days, she's kind of acting up because.
Well, oh, girl, we can't see. They can't see, that's for sure.
My dads are, but yeah, okay, skin. I get that from my dad's side of the family, but yeah.
So yeah, one thing that I like about myself physically is like my lips and teeth area. Personality wise, I don't know. I just think like I just feel like I bring good energy and like I quite like my laugh. It's quite infectious. And if I could tell my younger self anything, it would be that losing weight really isn't the be all and end all, and that it will actually end up, I guess, robbing you of a lot of good times if you just focus solely on that. Like, there's really more to life than it. So, yeah. Anyways, guys, that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. We hope that you enjoyed it. We hope that it was relatable and that you took comfort and solace in some of the things that we said. As always, follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook at Let God Podcast. I almost forgot the freaking name, even though it's... We're nearly at 200 followers on Instagram, so tell your friends to tell your friends so that we can do our little Instagram live. Make sure that you check out the playlist as well, because it's really got some bangers on it this week. And just, yeah, keep sharing your thoughts with us and your feedback. And thank you again to everyone who left us really lovely messages about the last episode that we did, because it's always nice to see and to know that we're having a positive effect on y'all. So, yeah.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Lots of love.
Bye.